Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Marty Morrissey, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
Good, great to see you, Marty. So, Marty, you've chosen some pieces of music for us today that remind you of particular moments in your life. Is music a big part of your life? I suppose you're driving around the country a lot for work. What are you listening to in the car?
Obviously, on a Saturday and Sunday, the Brendan O'Connor Show.
Okay, here we go.
Did I answer that correctly? No, I love my music. I've discovered Spotify in the last year or two as well. But it's a range of music from Neil Diamond to Phil Collins.
That's not a range from Neil Diamond range, to right. Phil Collins. That's a very narrow range.
To the Tullie Kelly band, so
okay.
Taylor Swift. I love Westlife. It's
okay.
It depends on the mood. I'm not set in one. You'd find me at a concert at a variety of concerts, actually, depending on the mood you're in or whatever, or the artist at the time.
Yeah.
So it varies, you know.
So we go back. You lived in the Bronx in New York until you were 11 years old. And was it Irish music in the house?
It was, because my parents used to listen to an Irish music station on a Sunday night, or an Irish music program.
Yeah.
It was on for an hour, and it was all kind of Dock Amara and, you know, the Banks of My Lovely Lee and all that sort of era that my parents loved. But it was religious. I mean, it was every Sunday night.
Yeah.
It was that connection, because a lot of the Irish diaspora at the time would have spent their days in Gaelic Park, but they would go home, believe it or not, for the radio show, not for TV, but for the radio, and they'd have an hour of Irish music. So it meant an awful lot to them. But I was brought up in New York. I went to school in Bainbridge Avenue in the Bronx, and swore my allegiance to the American flag Monday to Friday, hail, rain, sleet or snow.
Right.
And then was a totally mixed up kid, because more or less did the same thing on a Sunday when I went to Gaelic Park, which was really at the time, my father got involved in the travel business, and it was really like an employment agency rather than just a venue for games, for hurling and football. It was Irish culture, because it was also kind of embracing Irish dancing, set dancing, Irish dancing itself, the Irish language. But it was really about the games, obviously, and contacting people. Brendan O'Connor would have his brother coming over. I'd say, oh, listen, I know somebody who's looking for a job below in Brooklyn. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
So it was the days before the internet.
Yeah.
And the days before, text messages and WhatsApp. So it was a different world, but it was very, very important.
So you had a strong sense, so, of Irishness.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I mean, when you have a Cork mother and a Clare father, you would be very much embracing the Irish language. And we would come home on holidays. Now, the American, my parents often worked 2 days or 2 jobs. I remember my mother worked in an insurance company in Manhattan, and then she worked as a receptionist in Fordham University. So it was hard work, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there was the work ethic. It was, you know, you work hard and you reap your rewards. And that kind of culture that they had was embedded in me as well. Because my father, I remember when he left West Clare, he like myself, was an only child. And my grandfather used to get up and milk the cows at 5 a.m. And himself and Joe Flynn and Michael Lynch used to have a race in the pony and trap down to the Onaguerrock, down to the river, to the creamery. And that was their day. And when my father decided not to do that, and to go to America, I mean, my grandfather didn't, I don't think they spoke for about 2 years, because my grandfather was really annoyed with my dad that he left the land. Now, they all made up in time, but it was, you know, it was hard. It was a big decision for my father at the time to leave, but he wanted to see the world. He was, you know, it was, they do it now normally. You know, I met people who are going to Australia, they're going to Sydney during the week, more so than America. But at the time, London and America and New York were the two places that people would go to.
And I suppose those early years do shape who we are in many ways. So did growing up in America shape you?
I think it did. I mean, even at primary school, it was inculcated in me that, you know, you could do anything. You know, the big thing in school in the Bronx was, one day you can be the president of the United States. That was the big thing, right? Now, none of us did, as far as I know, anyway. But it was a can-do. Nothing is impossible. And it was, I'm sure it went on to high school, although I didn't go to high school because my parents bought a pub in West Clare as I was 10 going on 11. But it always kind of had an effect on me that even at primary school, in a nice way now.
Yeah.
We were told anything is possible for you.
You
if
see,
because
it's probably different to the messages that we got here. Like, that there's nothing wrong with here. Like, but at the we used to sneer at Americans who were growing up for their positivity and have a nice day and all that kind of thing, you know, and that would they not be more down on themselves? Like, but it's probably a healthy thing to have.
Well, up to a point,
okay.
I mean, we won't overdo it. But when you see our Olympians in Paris, and I heard your conversation with Des, and they've captured all of our imaginations and thoughts, we're so proud of them, that it is a can-do effort, that anything is possible. They dreamt about going to Paris. They dreamt, they will now encourage a new generation of thinking about going to LA or Brisbane or wherever the next Olympics are. And it's can do. Look at what we've done. Small nation.
Yeah.
So thanks be to God we've adopted
that. It's Federling.
Okay,
so your first choice today is Frank Sinatra, New York, New York. I suppose needs no explanation.
Needs no explanation. I still love the song when it's played because I still love New York. I go back to Gaelic Park. I go back to New York GA. They're fundraising. I've always maintained my connections with New York GA. And the diaspora is so important, Brendan, because I remember my father used to turn out the transistor on the fire escape and try and get me all here, and he'd be doing the aerial until he got Radio Éireann.
Yeah.
And the tears, and he being a Claremont, the tears were pouring down his face because it meant so much. So when I hear New York, New York, it is part of me, and
okay,
I love it.
That's Frank Sinatra, of course, and New York, New York, and Marty Morrissey's first music choice today. And that articulating all that positivity and everything you were talking about as well. We were just saying there, though, that when you hear the master do it, you hear it murdered so much, like it's still a great song.
There's only one Frank.
So Marty, you went home to Clare then at 11,
yeah,
and you're the Yank. Did you fit in?
I did after a while. I think I know when I was in school in Flannans, I was called a Yank for a while because I presume I had an American accent. But football and hurling and playing, I mean, you know, when people say, you know, shout for the ball, over here, Marty, over here, you begin to adapt.
Yeah.
And for football and hurling, for me, created the bridge of acceptance. It helped me to kind of bond with people and it was very important at school, playing football and hurling, because it was a real hurling school, as you know, Brendan, for St. Flannan's.
Yeah.
But I think home at my own parish with Kinmaria Brecon, I think it was making friends and playing football every day that made me, you know, feel welcome and be part of that community. And it very much, it is my home. It is my community to this day. And it was strange, Brendan, because, you know, we lived in a one-bedroom apartment in Bainbridge Avenue. And when we were on the fourth floor, when you look out the apartment, you see lights everywhere. And then we came back to the pub in Quilty, and you'd see one light every 13 seconds, which was the Aran Islands lighthouse. And I used count it from my bedroom window upstairs. And we had a street lamp outside. And because the pub was literally on, it is now on the Wild Atlantic Way, and across the road is the Atlantic Ocean and Mutton Island, and on the horizon, the Aran Islands. But the lamp outside the pub, in the storms, used to go real shaky. So to be on and off all the time. So it was kind of a bit lonely in one way.
Yeah, that's a big change for a young fella, in terms of the texture that's around you. But then growing up in a pub too, I always think, as much as your shape or your young years in America, going up in a pub shapes people 100%. In a particular way as well, doesn't it? Dealing with people, the sociability of it, the open house nature of it.
And you also learn very quickly, although I was 11, 12, 13, that people come and they want to see a smile on your face. They don't want to see you in a grumpy mood.
Okay.
Because they're coming out to socialise and forget about their worries and concerns for an hour or 2 hours. I often said you could do a master's or a PhD, but the best PhD you could do is work in a shop or work in a pub for a little while. Now, we had it for 7 or 8 years. So you'll learn very quickly that you're there to not entertain, but at least be pleasant and have a smile on your face and welcome people in. And it obviously, between the New York culture and the Clare culture or the Irish culture, it shaped me into what I am today, whatever that is.
So you're not your own burden down by your own thoughts all the time. You're thinking about other people.
Well, I think in the business you have to. You know?
And there was a lot of music around the pub too. Your next choice is the Kilfenora Cayley Band.
Well, you know, the Irish culture and the Irish music is so important to me because, as we've described, we've grown up in it. But in our pub at the time were people like Willie Clancy, Junior Crehan, Paddy Galvin, Michael Russell. And I often think, what in the name of God was I doing that I didn't learn from them? I was out playing ball.
They would just rock in and play.
They'd rock in and play in the bar.
Yeah.
And like the Willie Clancy, to this day, when I go, I didn't get to it this year because we were busy with the championship, but the Willie Clancy School and the Willie Clancy Week, the first week of July, in Milton Malbay and in my parish as well, is one of the greatest weeks of all time. And when you see young people from 8, 9, 10, playing the concertina, playing the tin whistle, playing the pipes, which is extremely difficult, out on the streets, or their dancing sets, you'd be very proud of our Irish heritage. But I grew up in it. The only one thing, I know I played a bit of the accordion, but I remember we performed.
Piano.
Piano
accordion, yeah.
I remember one night we played for the Christmas concert, a group of us, and I played, the accordion was nearly bigger than me because I was small, and there was a group of lads and we dressed in white shirts and red ties and we played Silent Night. And we never ever sang together again. So it mustn't have been that good, but it was great practice.
For one night only. Okay,
but
well, people who had slightly more success, maybe the Kilfenora Cayley Band. This is Marty Morrissey's second choice. This is Laidin's Reels. Super. Kilfenora Cayley Band, Laidin's Reels, and that's Marty Morrissey's second choice today. So, Marty, when did you stop wanting to play in Croke Park and decide you wanted a commentator on it instead?
I remember, like everybody else, pucking a ball up against a wall, or indeed, where my house is now, my home place, Mina Lynch's house, the cow cabin door would be open, and I'd be imagining that I was playing the All-Ireland. Yeah. And I could hear the echo from the cow cabin at the other side. But that was my first. But I was never one of those guys that was listening to myself on a tape recorder. But I dreamt of playing behind, of marching behind an Artane band. But I never got there. I wasn't good enough, to put it bluntly. But then way back in time, my club were playing Milton Malbay in under-21 final. And it was Ballon Dumbeg. And my crowd are so passionate about their football that the pitch was, there was no stand. So they drove a tractor and trailer from my place, from my village, down to Dumbeg, which isn't that far, and put up sheets of galvanised because it was held in October. And away I went for my first video. And it is horrific when I don't look at it, I can assure you, but other people, every now and then it appears from the archives and I'm there with a black trench coat thinking I was looking very sexy, but it was dreadful and I had hair all over the place. But anyway, I started, I didn't know whether it was me hollow hair or me hollow my heart thing, and I just kept at it, kept applying here and kept getting rejected until somebody eventually had a bit of sympathy for me. Frank Whelan was the man who actually, I think, helped me an awful lot because he said, look, we are either going to give you a chance or we're going to tell you to get lost. And so ultimately he gave me, Tim O'Connor was the head of sport at the time, and he gave me a chance to do a match between Dublin and Armagh in Croke Park. And I said, well, when will I get the result of this? You'll get it that night because they were putting it out on Sunday Sport. And that, I've been doing it ever since, really, to be perfectly honest.
You mentioned the two Mihals there and you have it too, like them. There's an element of being a poet about it. Like, it's not just about what's happening. it's about what it all means as well, isn't it? And what does the GAA mean?
Oh, the GAA goes beyond the game itself. It is the heartbeat, for me, I think it is the heartbeat of the nation. Sport is. Look what the Olympics has done for our country over the last 2 weeks. But the GAA have done it for 140 years because it is the pulse. It gives you the sense of belonging. It gives you the sense of pride. Whether it's the Junior B football team that you played on or that your team is in or they're in the county final, or it is Clare hurlers or Cork hurlers or Armagh footballers or Galway footballers, it doesn't matter. This is where you're from. And the GAA gives you that sense of identity. And when All-Ireland finals come, and I've been honoured and privileged to be given the microphone in those days, I do, because of where I came from, I resonate with the people who are abroad. Sometimes it is because they have to be there. Sometimes it's because they want to be there, or they're just on a holiday. But that day, the 2 days of the year of All-Ireland Finals Day, brings them back to Croke Park and imagining what it's like. If they're listening on the radio or if they're watching on TV, it means an awful lot. And I think even during COVID times, when I think the club games went ahead with nobody around, even All-Ireland Finals went ahead, showed you what it meant to everybody. Whether you're a GAA person or not, it is sport and it is that sense of pride.
And place, yeah. Yeah. And your next choice is Ralph McTell, It's a Long, Long Way from Clare to Here. And this is a song that comes to you every All-Ireland Sunday, I believe.
It does, Brendan, because not alone, okay, when you're given the microphone and you're told you're doing the All-Ireland Final. And one of my proudest moments was 12 years ago when I was in the XL Arena in London. XL Arena in London when Katie Taylor won her gold medal. And we have Kelly Harrington now doing two Olympic medals. Unbelievable. Mm. But when Katie kind of broke the ceiling, we were in that arena surrounded, and they sang The Fields of Athenry. They sang It's a Long Way from Clare to Here. And it just made me say how, from a small village, for myself, just personal, from a small village, grew up in a pub, to be in the arena in London to see Katie Taylor win her gold medal, or to be in Croke Park when whoever wins the All-Ireland, it doesn't matter whether it's Clare or Armagh or Cork or Galway, because every one of those counties is important to those people. But for me personally, Ralph McTell and It's a Long Way from Clare to Here always is in my mind.
Okay, here's Marty's third choice.
I sometimes hear a fiddle play, or maybe it's a notion. I dream I see white horses dance upon that other ocean.
That's Ralph McTell. It's a long, long way from Clare to Here. And that is Marty Morrissey's third choice today. And Marty, I know that song reminds you too of your parents, and they were both a huge part of your life. As an only child, was that a very special relationship?
It was, Brendan, I suppose, because both Mom and Dad were only children as well. So there was only the three of us. So, you know, I suppose it is a little bit unusual having no aunts, no uncles, no first cousins. So, you know, I have great second cousins and I have great friends. So I suppose, you know, there was, we were very, very close.
Yeah, the against the world, really.
Huh? Yeah, a little bit like that. Yeah, very supportive. Yeah. I mean, I remember changing courses in college. My mother was giving out to me, and then I went teaching in Spanish Point. I find pensionable job, and you're going off of this broadcasting crack.
Yeah.
But then once I got started doing it and I got a chance and got a gig and got a bit of work, they were all behind it. But initially they said, are you mad? You know, and you're living at home and teaching up the road. So, yeah, but they were always supportive, as all parents are, you know. And,
And both of your parents are passed away now, and I know you feel their loss very deeply. Mm. Your poor mother's death was so incredibly tragic, wasn't it? It was a storm in 2021.
A storm in 2021, the first week of December, and she rang me to say that there's a red alert, I think, coming in, and I watched the weather here in Dublin. So I said, look, I'll go down to you. And we had conversations all the way down, and she said, I might meet you in Innes. And I said, okay, if you want to, Mum. But I thought she'd leave at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. But Mom decided to ring all the friends and neighbours and say she was going on a holiday to Innes and we were going to stay in the Old Ground Hotel. But anyway, so she left. But my mum was a Donegal woman from North Cork. And the type of woman she was, that when Clare and Cork got into the All-Ireland Final in 2013, and she's been living in Clare, I suppose, whatever I was 10 or 11. Yeah. And out goes three Cork flags in the middle of the... Do you know what I mean? I said, Mom, you can't be putting out the Cork flag. I am from Cork and that's the end of it now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
I have her now. Yeah.
You know the type of woman she was. But anyway, whatever happened, you know, and every time I hear of an accident, it kind of sends shivers down my spine because I remember that night. Because when she wasn't in Aina, which is halfway between my village and Ennis, I kept traveling and I kept ringing her, but I wasn't getting any response. But anyway, I came upon her accident. So, every time I hear of an accident, it does, I think of those people because having experienced it is heartbreaking. And even when I go home to this day, Brendan, I do find it very lonely. I find the house empty, do you know?
Yeah.
So it's and you rely on your close friends and your partner and cousins to kind of keep you going.
Yeah. But so, she was the home down there.
She was the home, yeah. And she, you know, and it's only when she's gone. I mean, Dad died in 2004 and she was 17 years on her own. And mass was the big thing. She got about 5 masses a day if she could.
Yeah.
And novenas and everything. And she kept telling me every day, I prayed for you this morning. And, you know, so I do miss. I miss a lot of things from my mom. But on the day of an All-Ireland final or a Munster All-Ireland final, any match. And I'd say, well, did you listen? I did, yeah. And I saw you on the news. Where did you get that new jacket? I don't like it at all. It doesn't suit you. Yeah. I miss those kind of phones.
Yeah. You need one advisor you can trust, don't you? Yeah. And somebody who will tell you what you
the
need
truth,
to hear.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Marty, you have an amazing ability to connect with people, don't you? Where does it come from?
I don't know. I mean, people say that to me, Brendan, and it's a great compliment. I love people. I always have. And I mean, I find difficulty doing an email, never mind. You know, I'm not a technical guy at all. But I do love hearing people. I love embracing people. I've great friends. And I suppose I love learning about their story and hearing about their lives. And it doesn't matter where they're from or whatever. I just love hearing about it and always have. I'm intrigued by people and their lives and how exciting their lives are, whatever it is that they're doing. But so it's a nice compliment, Brendan. I thank you. But I'm lucky enough that people seem to feel like that. But I mean, I people say to me about the selfies and things like that and different things that kids come up to me about. But isn't it wonderful that they don't think you're a bit of a jerk, that they actually want to have a picture with you? And it doesn't. I'm lucky, Brendan, that the age spectrum is from 8 to 90.
Yeah, and I suppose Dancing with the Stars did a lot of that as well.
They did.
Your next choice is connected with that, Joe Dolan and Good Looking Woman.
Well, when I was very hesitant when Larry Bass rang me to do Dancing with the Stars because I knew in my heart and soul that I was a very average dancer. I was able to dance a Claire set. I was able to jive. I was able to waltz. But this was different. Anyway, I agreed around the end of October. I was away actually doing a match. We were doing a special game in Australia. And I came back and I partnered up with Ksenia, and we got on great, and we still are great friends to this day. But we started at the end of November, and the first song was You're Such a Good-Looking Woman with Joe Dolan, who I always liked. But when you have Joe Dolan and You're Such a Good-Looking Woman for 6 weeks, doing it every day, there comes a point where you say, can we do another song? Well, we couldn't do another song until I got the first one right. And it was strange having done it on the show. I remember, I tell you this, Brent, I went down to the rehearsals on the Saturday, and I was the last one on. And as they were introducing it, and next thing I heard all the laughter. And I said, it was my colleagues from here, because they knew I was going to make a mess of it. And then after you get over the first week, then you do a song a week. But Joe Dolan, I always love Joe Dolan, and you're such a good looking woman.
Let's trigger Marty Morrissey. Joe Dolan, Good Looking Woman.
Me oh my.
Wow. Me oh my, you make me sigh, you're such a good looking woman. Stop, people stare, you know it fills my heart with pride.
Joe Dolan there, leaving Tom Jones for dust, I think, in general. Good looking woman, Marty Morrissey.
I'm like Christy Moore now at a concert, Brendan, when I hear that song, the sweat is pouring down.
So, Marty, you're presenting an evening with the RT Concert Orchestra next month. What can people expect?
Well, you know, I'm deeply honoured and privileged, and I mean that sincerely, because you know how in any broadcast you knock on doors and you're looking for things to happen. But this came in, I was asked to do this, and I'm so privileged because it's a night of music and sport and chat and laughter. And we're doing two nights with the RT Concert Orchestra. I mean, I've been to their concerts and I love the RT Concert Orchestra. And to be with them now for two nights is a phenomenal, I suppose, honour to be with them. We're in the concert hall on September 26th and we're in Leisureland in Galway on September 27th and you can get your tickets now at
rte.ie/co.
Yeah, rte.ie/co. I guarantee you, even if you're not a sports fan, don't worry. This will be a night of fun and laughter and chat. We've different guests. I can't tell you the guests.
Okay.
That's a surprise. But we'll have loads of beautiful music, great chat and sport and I would really love you to come either to the Nash Concert Hall, September 26th, or Leisureland Galway.
Okay, we got it.
I do a good idea. They all give me the thumbs up.
Lots of very warm texts coming in. And you know, a word that's been used a lot is gentleman. Absolute gentleman.
Nice. Thank you very much.
And so we leave it so, Marty, with your final choice today, a classic.
A classic. I'm good pals.
This is pure Marty now, this last song, yeah.
I'm very lucky over the years doing different gigs with different people. Tommy Fleming and Sharon Shannon played at my mother's funeral. And Paul Harrington is a good friend of mine. But Johnny Logan and myself became friends over the last number of years because we were to do a recording for the Bank Holiday Monday show. And we couldn't do it in a local hotel because the music was piped and it was too loud. So we went back to his house and I met Elise and we've become great friends since. And so I'm really a great fan of Johnny Logan. I thought he was brilliant at Eurovision this year. So as I've always adopted the attitude, what's another year?
Okay, Marty Morrissey, thank you very much. Here's Johnny.
I've been waking such a long time, reaching out for you, but you aren't near. What's another year?